So today's scripture is taken from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27, and it reads, "When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So I continue my sermon series on people who encountered Christ in the Bible. We've gone from Zacchaeus to Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the centurion soldier. And this morning we look at Martha's encounter with Jesus. We know the Gospels have many accounts of people and fascinating stories of people who interacted with Jesus. Each encounter reveals something for us about the nature of Christ. It allows us to understand Christ more deeply and to understand Christ's mission and his work that he did for God. It also helps us then to draw closer to God as we go onwards towards Christian perfection. Let us pray together. Lord, we gather here today seeking your mercy and your wisdom. We ask that these words spoken today reflect your true will, that they reach our hearts so that we may know your glory. May our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, for Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So recently in the news, and you often hear this from me, I always see all the deaths and tragedies that have been happening. On Wednesday, we heard of the Bardo National Museum in Tunisia, who terrorists stormed the museum and killed over 20 people and wounded many others. On Friday, there's a story of a 63-year-old man who was mentally unstable, and he went to the New Orleans airport in Louisiana and with machete began attacking people. This man himself was shot by police officers, 3 bullets hitting him, and he's passed away. And then on Saturday, more recently, I heard the tragic news of in Brooklyn. It happens for a family, a mother, a Jewish Orthodox mother, observing the Sabbath, was using a hot plate to keep food warm. The hot plate had to be constantly turned on because she was not allowed to turn things on or off during the Sabbath time. Through a malfunction of the hot plate, it began a spark and a fire that started in the kitchen and spread throughout the apartment. And the mother, though her life was saved, 7 children in the apartment passed away in the fire. Daily we hear of tragedies and things that are happening all over the world. Stories, unfortunately, of death and illness and tragedy and disease. Sociologists say that our society hears about these things so much daily through our TV, through our newspapers, through our laptops, our iPads, even through social gossip, that we have become desensitized to all these tragedies that we hear about in the world because we hit them on a daily basis. We become numb, we lose feelings, we no longer care about the people whose lives are lost. We have become desensitized to death. But we know that death is not a stranger in all our own lives personally, and that we know that the death of a loved one, someone we knew, someone we had a connection with, is something that we are not desensitized to. We take the loss of a loved one personally and we feel all the grief that is experienced. And in this morning's scripture passage, we encounter Martha, who is going through herself a time of grief. She's not desensitized by the death, even though her brother Lazarus has been ill for a few days. We know in this morning's passage from Mark that it starts out that when Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus, now near Bethany in Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, finally comes. And during this time, many of the Jews had come to Martha and her sister Mary to console them about the loss of their brother. People have many questions about this passage, and they kind of struggle with the questioning of Jesus and his actions. They say, we know earlier in the scripture passage that Jesus has been asked to come while Lazarus is sick, to come first to heal him, but yet Jesus waits. He stays longer in his city. And then he still comes, but again, when he hears the news of Lazarus' death, he doesn't come until 4 days after the body has already been placed in the tomb. We struggle with the question of why. Why did Jesus wait so long? And what about Martha, who during this time had such strong faith in Jesus, this person, this wonderful person she'd been hearing about and heard his message? What was Martha feeling? She was probably experiencing these stages of grief as she had lost her brother. Denial, anger, depression, maybe even bargaining. So then we come to this time where we hear that many Jews have come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. But the Lord teaches us that we must be patient, for Jesus waiting to come to Martha teaches the lessons of patience, that even knowing that our own desperate hours of need, the Lord will come to us, and we must not lose faith in that, and yes, be patient. Scripture passage from Psalm chapter 37, verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently." Is that easy for us to do, to be still before the Lord and wait patiently? During this season of Lent, I encourage all to either give up something or take on something. It's wonderful to hear. I know one church member has taken on inviting friends to church events or other things. It's a wonderful thing they have taken on. And I've also heard more about those who have given up something. Can we have a show of hands of those who gave up desserts again this year, or chocolates, or, oh, this brave section right here in the front? I have a friend who decided, and she's a Japanese, but she decided to give up rice for Lent. Yeah, see? And I can relate to her. Some of our other non-Asian friends don't relate as well. But when she said she was giving up rice for Lent, she didn't realize that included so many things. You know, the rice you eat with your stir fry, the rice and sushi, the rice cake she loves to nibble on as a snack. She's waiting for the end of Lent. She has that countdown app as well. But she has this patience, as we all know, the patience we must have as we wait patiently for the Lord. For Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, we must be patient. And Martha herself has probably experienced this time of patience. And when she hears that Jesus has come and finally arrived, she runs to Jesus. And she says to him, "Lord, if you had just been here before, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." So from Martha, we learn a second lesson of not just patience, but of having that deep faith that we must stay committed to the Lord. Even in this time of tragic and loss, her brother has died. She experiences this great grief and distress, but she still has faith and knows that the Lord will give whatever you ask of him because of her connection to Jesus Christ. We ourselves must remember to be like that as well, to have such a strong commitment that when we are faced in times of deep, deep loss or tragic events, that the Lord is still there for us and that we must still remain committed to Jesus Christ. So when we hear about all these horrible things that are happening in the news, we then also hear the hope that can come out of these things. The people around the world that have been praying for the Tunisia People Museum, the victims who have died in their families, people who have stood against terrorist attacks and says, no, we will continue to be to our own faith and supportive of these people. The people who said for that man who killed the other people in the airport, let's look at the injustice of mental disease. For this man was mentally unstable and was not receiving the care that he need. So there is a newfound attention towards helping people with mental diseases. And for the family that lost so many lives of children in the fire in New York, they also looked at what was happening in that building. A family who was observing the Sabbath of their faith and being true to their faith was in a building where, unfortunately, the landlords only had one working smoke detector, and that was in the basement of the building. And much support has poured in for this family afterwards. People have given the families places to live and offering of homes and food and supplies, knowing that it cannot replace the loss of the loved ones, but knowing that there still is hope and love that we can share with the families. We must stay committed to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says to Martha when he encounters her, the first thing he says is, "Your brother will rise again." Now your brother will rise again. Sounds wonderful. And we who know the true story of Jesus, who lived 2,000 years later and know the amazing Messiah and Savior that Jesus says, when we hear the words, your brother will rise again, it's a great thing. We know what it means. And we know that Jesus has performed miracles. But Martha and Mary and other people of those Jewish times, when a loved one is lost, they are often told, your loved one will rise again. It's actually a common phrase. It's a very simple phrase that you would hear often at a funeral service of that time. For the Jewish faith then believed in, yes, the loved one rising again, but rising again to heaven, to being with God the Creator, which is a wonderful thing. So maybe Martha was thinking, oh, Jesus, you're saying your brother will rise again. I've heard that term so many times. She might have then also become numb or desensitized to that term. Have you ever been told something over and over and over again, so much so that because it doesn't happen, you just stop believing it? You start thinking, oh, it's not going to happen. Maybe the 16-year-old, when she gets her license and is told by parents, yeah, we'll get you a car. And she asks again and again and again and never gets the car. In Chinatown itself, part of the history now, on the corner of Broadway and College, there is a great complex being built. Thousands of apartment buildings and retail shops. But before that, there was Little Joe's restaurant. Do you remember Little Joe's Italian restaurant? Maybe raise your hand if you kind of remember. So for the longest time, it was a wonderful restaurant where people could go for wonderful Italian food, and even people in the community gathered and had dinners and lunches there. And then Little Joe's went out of business. The family decided they could no longer sustain the business. And for a decade or more, the restaurant sat empty. People in Chinatown kept hearing words and gossip and business people saying, oh, the place is going to be reopened in a whole new wonderful restaurant. Or, oh, it's going to be torn down and we're going to build something great there. But they kept hearing this thing over and over and over again, that soon many people in Chinatown just stopped believing. They saw Little Joe's as an ugly eyesore in the city. It was abandoned. The paint was falling off. Columns were falling down. Sometimes, unfortunately, the homeless people would choose to sleep there. Or when it was used for like a film shoot part of the restaurant, there would be so much traffic from all the film people. So the people of Chinatown, they gave up on Little Joe's. They began to be desensitized to all the good news they thought they were hearing about it. And then Jesus says to her, not just your brother will rise again, but I am the resurrection and the life. He is telling her to wake up, to listen, Martha. Yes, your brother will rise again, but he will rise again in a special way through me, for I am the resurrection and the life. He's telling her to get out of that numbness, to not be desensitized, but to be awakened and enjoy and experience life in a new way. I have a clergy friend who admits to being desensitized to funeral service. My clergy friend has been a minister now for 15-some years, and he guesses maybe on an average of 3 times a year he does a funeral service. So he's done over 45-some services, and he admitted once in a covenant group that he just feels like he's going through the motions of when he does the funeral service. He's lost that connection that he feels to not just the family but to God during this funeral service. And then he shares a funny story that recently his family pet hamster died. His daughter loved the pet hamster, and his daughter is a very tech-savvy 10-year-old, so when he was at work the next day in his pastor's office, he received a Google invite on his iPhone from his daughter asking him to officiate the pet hamster's funeral service. So that awoke my friend up, and he realized, oh, even a funeral service for Harry the hamster is a way to worship the Lord. And now he is awakened and he is remembering Jesus and he's excited for a funeral service for a hamster. So sometimes Jesus needs to wake us up, and here he's waking Martha up. For Martha has been in her grief. She has been upset at Jesus. She's gone through all these motions, but she still is committed and has this patience. And Jesus rewards her with those beautiful words that I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. That is our hope as Christians, to live by these words, to believe in Jesus Christ, to know that even though we die, yes, we live, because it is through Jesus Christ who acts for us that we receive eternal life with God our Father. And everyone who lives and believes in him, we Yes, all of us here who have Christ in our hearts, we will never die. And Jesus closes by asking Martha this great question. Do you believe this? Just those four simple words, do you believe this? After Martha has experienced so much, the illness of her brother, the suffering she's seen of her brother, the death of her brother, the burial of her brother, and days later when Jesus arrives, he asks her, do you believe this? And Martha answers, and she reacts like a true disciple that we should all follow by her example. She says to him in verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into this world. For that is what the season of Lent is about, as we prepare for Easter Sunday, that glorious Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is us saying out loud together as a church, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that is coming into the world. And we must react with great faith, just as Martha did, even after all that she experienced. She had patience, she had commitment, and she had true faith as a disciple. And we ourselves must learn from that this morning, as we continue to celebrate the risen Christ in a few days and continue to celebrate the ministry of Jesus. As the children gather and do their fun Easter egg hunt and other things for Easter, and as we prepare to, if you gave up chocolate for Lent, maybe Sunday right after worship, go to the nearest place and get tons of chocolate. I gave up desserts and I already know where I'm going to go. A church member we know went to the Little Tokyo new ice cream lab place that makes ice cream homemade fresh on the spot. Or my friend who gave up rice, I'm sure we're going to find her eating tons of rice the way she likes her mom makes. But we must all remember to be patient for the Lord, to be committed to the Lord, and to remember to say, yes, Lord, when Jesus Christ calls us. Let us pray. Loving God, we just ask that you help us to continue to be true disciples, to remember the interaction of Martha and Jesus and how strong her faith was. We ask, Lord, that you continue to guide us on this journey and path, and know that we are grateful and so thankful for the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. For we know the great sacrifice that he gave for us on the cross, and we just ask that you help us to continue to be worthy, to serve you, to serve your church, to serve the world. Amen.